And on this feast of Pentecost, the lesson is taken from the Acts of the Apostles. When the days of Pentecost were accomplished, they were all together in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a mighty wind coming, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And there appeared to them parted tongues as it were of fire, and it sat upon every one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And they began to speak with diverse tongues according as the Holy Ghost gave them to speak. Now there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men of every nation under heaven. And when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded in mind, because that every man heard them speak in his own tongue. And they were all amazed and wondered, saying, Behold, are not all these that speak Galileans? And how have we heard every man our own tongue wherein we were born? Parthians and Medes and Elamites and inhabitants of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt, and the parts of Libya about Cyrene, and strangers of Rome, Jews also and proselytes, Cretes and Arabians. We have heard them speak in our own tongues the wonderful works of God. Please rise for the Holy Gospel, which is taken from that of St. John. At that time, Jesus said to his disciples, If anyone love me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him, and will make our abode with him. He that loveth me not keepeth not my words, and the word which you have heard is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. These things have I spoken to you, abiding with you. But the Paraclete, the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things, and bring all things to your mind, whatsoever I shall have said to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, do I give unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, or let it be afraid. You have heard that I said to you, I go away, and I come unto you. If you loved me, you would indeed be glad, because I go to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. And now I have told you before it came to pass, that when it shall come to pass, you may believe. I will not now speak many things with you, for the prince of this world cometh, and in me he hath not anything. But that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father hath given me commandment, so do I. Thus far the words of this Sunday's Holy Gospel. Please be seated. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. Ave Maria Purissima. So on this solemn feast of Pentecost, we reach now 50 days since the Paschal mystery, and now we contemplate the mystery of the Ascension makes sense to us, that our Lord who went away now comes to us in a more intimate and spiritual manner, sending his very Spirit, the Holy Spirit, to be the soul of our soul. And thus we understand that our Lord did not leave us orphans. He did not cease to fulfill his mission to save the whole world. But now he says to us, You are the light of the world. As the Father hath sent me, so I send you. Receive the Holy Ghost. So he breathes on us this day, fills us with the Holy Ghost, and we contemplate this feast as the birthday of the church. What is the church? But as St. Paul tells us, the mystical body of Christ. So now we are Christ's presence throughout the whole world. We hear in the Acts of the Apostles how everyone from different nations, of different languages, all receive the good news as we are called to spread it unto the ends of the earth. We contemplate then that he lives in us, that this will all be possible, that we will do even greater works than Christ, as we've seen in the lives of some extraordinary saints who raised even more people from the dead or worked more miracles, for example. It's possible because he tells us that if we've received the Holy Ghost and we love him, keeping his commandments, that he will come to us and make his abode in us. The Father, Son, and Holy Ghost dwell in our soul by sanctifying grace. And we contemplate that this is, as we had the solemn octave of Easter, now we have the solemn octave of Pentecost. So we have two great sacraments to contemplate, that of baptism and likewise confirmation. And perhaps we haven't sufficiently reflected on the importance of our confirmation. Perhaps one would say that, well, didn't I receive everything I needed in baptism? It was a washing away of my sin. I receive sanctifying grace with the infused virtues of faith, hope, and charity, and even the gifts of the Holy Ghost. Okay? You received the complete packet in baptism, but now you are receiving an actualization, 2.0 version of the gifts of the Holy Ghost, okay? So that you might practice them in a as members of the church militant, not just for your own sanctification, but for the sanctification of others. Okay, as we're called to be missionaries to the world, and likewise, just forming your children in the faith, for example. We need the gifts of the Holy Ghost. They're necessary for salvation. And we should ask ourselves, we should think particularly, why is that? Okay, as you know, it's often conferred as they grow into adolescence, when there's greater temptations of the world, the flesh, and the devil. Okay? And the way they practiced virtue before was easier, but now it will be more difficult. And in particular, let's think of, by faith, for example, we can make, we act according to the virtue of faith. We get up in the morning, we recognize that God exists, we pray, we ask for his assistance. By hope, we avoid and by the virtue of prudence, we avoid an occasion of sin, which could, so we don't want to lose eternal life for some passing pleasure. We make acts of charity in praying to God and thanking him at the end of the day and helping someone who might be in need. But imagine, too, the other temptations. St. Thomas says there will be more difficult and often sudden temptations that arise in life. For example, what are we to say? We know our faith, but what do we say in response to more complicated situations? When a son or daughter is thinking about leaving the faith, when a friend is thinking about committing a terrible crime, having an abortion, or committing suicide, or what do we say in those moments, which often take us by surprise? How do we practice hope when in very difficult circumstances? For example, a spouse abandons. A husband abandons his wife with little kids. She feels she doesn't have the strength to continue on. Or we feel much interior desolation and depression, and we don't know how to persevere in loving God. And likewise, the more difficult circumstances. Should I go out with this group of friends or allow my son or daughter to do so? And we don't know all the circumstances. We don't know how to apply this information of faith, hope, and charity. No? Our vocation in life, religious life, married life, whom to marry. Okay? That we can't necessarily find the answer in our catechism. Okay? We can find the principles, but you'll see that we need greater strength there. We need to be, in fact, inspired. We need to be illumined. We need to have the words of counsel. We need to have fortitude that we receive to go on in those moments. You can, St. Thomas compares it to a boat, or I'll give you a modern analogy of an airplane, for example. The fact that we can go through the heavens, okay, is only by the fact that we have sanctifying grace. We have the instructions of how to fly that plane, which is our faith. We have fuel, which is hope and charity, and there we go, soaring through the heavens. But as any pilot will tell you, that's not enough safely arrive at their destination. They need, because many, what if there were other planes, which all of a sudden cross his path? Or a terrible storm up ahead, or he can't land because there's something, there's a complication below. He needs someone who can see the whole heavens at once. He needs to receive inspirations. He needs contact with air traffic control, you know, who can even help take possession by remote of his plane to guide him safely to his destination. So too in our life, we need the gifts of the Holy Ghost. For example, the gift of counsel. The counsel will give us those words to say when we haven't thought about them beforehand. Because many times in us as a priest, and I'm sure likewise as in your role as parents, that you didn't have this thought out, but it occurs to you to say something to someone. Okay? That's the Holy Ghost at work, that is complementing our knowledge when it would otherwise fail. We need fortitude to carry us through those moments when our strength is simply spent. We know what we should do, but we can't find the energy to do it. That's when the Holy Ghost will inspire us with fortitude, as we see the apostles who were shut up in the upper room because of fear of the Jews, their fellow kinsmen who had killed Christ, and that they are now filled with courage to go out and preach, when otherwise they were afraid of what the world would say. How often do we encounter ourselves in a similar circumstance? Likewise, wisdom will help us to judge all things in light of our last end. Now, why would I put my soul at risk? And when what would it profit a man if he gained the whole world but lost his own soul? And so we need the gifts of the Holy Ghost to arrive safely at our destination. And hence we invoke him today, as you saw, and we'll invoke him the whole week in the Veni Sancti Spiritus, referring to him as our sweet refreshment, our rest, the coolness and heat, the solace in the midst of woe, light divine, where thou art not, man hath not, nothing good in deed or thought, nothing free from taint of ill. He'll heal our wounds, he'll strengthen us, he'll pour down dew in our dryness and wash our stains of guilt away to bend the stubborn heart and will. How often do we realize what we should do, but we just can't seem to conquer ourselves? That's where he comes in, to bend our stubborn heart and will, to melt the frozen and warm the chill, and guide the steps that go astray. And so that is what we should contemplate in this time, that we have received not only gifts, right, that we have to use. This is the point, is that like the pilot who's following the instructions, he's limited. We're using faith, hope, and charity, but we're flying the plane with our human reason. And so we need to be enlightened even into our manner of thinking and acting. So we will receive we receive not only gifts that we can use, but we receive the very person of the Holy Ghost himself. The third person of the Most Holy Trinity dwells in our soul. And he is there personally to teach us all things and to guide us. Hence, he told us yesterday in the vigil, in the gospel we read from St. John as well, that he will remain with you forever, provided that you keep his commandments. And if not, he's sent to convict the world of sin and to bring you back to their observance and to a state of grace. He tells us that, as we hear today, he will teach you all things, and that we should not even fear if we be brought before the synagogue or the magistrates or those who will persecute us, because he will give us the words that we are to say to them in that moment, if we are fulfilling our duties. And that's the important point, that if we live, all graces are often connected, right? If we neglect one, we'll probably miss the one that would have came as a fruit or as a result of that. So if we're faithful to the duties of our state in life and to our prayer each day, we will receive those inspirations. St. Therese, you can read about when she was made mistress of novices. She was very young, and she even had her older sister as one of her novices. And she felt very inadequate for the task, but she noted that provided that she was faithful to her duties and to her prayer, that God would give her the counsel that she needed to pass on, give her the fortitude to be faithful in correcting. She said, I'll die with my sword in my hand in terms of making the necessary corrections of her neighbor. And likewise, she noted that every soul is very different. Even though the counsels are very clear and principle, that souls are very different, as you notice, I'm sure, with your children. And trying to apply it to each one requires more than just a general knowledge of principles. And so we should reflect that this will be the mystery of our life, that when we are weak, then we are strong, because virtue is made perfect in weakness. So when we, against those temptations, our Lord's not going to give us just the human strength, but in the midst of our weakness, allowing us to feel our weakness, he'll inspire us to pray to the Holy Ghost to receive his strength, okay? Because God has not given us a spirit of timidity. He's given us his Holy Spirit, which now lives in us if we only depend on him. And so, St. Gregory reminds us then that the Holy Ghost will give us wisdom against folly, understanding against dullness, counsel against rashness, fortitude against fears, knowledge against ignorance, piety against the hardness of heart, and fear against pride. And another note, too, of how they grow, that if we're growing in a state of grace, they will grow proportionately. But think of this point, too, that St. Thomas makes, that wisdom will grow proportionally to our charity, so that even the less gifted intellectual soul could be far superior in wisdom if they excel in charity. As we speak of this knowledge of the Holy Ghost, this wisdom or knowledge or understanding, it's a savory knowledge. Okay, it's that intimate knowledge which you would, as a husband knows his wife, or kids know their mother, for example. It's for having lived intimately and in family, for example, we know others in a way that we couldn't simply explain by words, in an intuitive way. And so that is the knowledge that will be granted to us if we love God And we share in that same spirit, and we will have the same sense and receive his same thoughts and inspirations. And so we pray throughout this octave, through the Holy Ghost, God, O God, who on this day didst instruct the hearts of the faithful by the light of the Holy Spirit, grant us in the same spirit to relish what is right and ever to rejoice in his consolation. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.